Good afternoon, folks. It's that time of the day again, time for the elephant in the room here on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. This is your host, Sam DeMarco. I am back this week after a hiatus last week with, hey, you guys know how men are with colds, right? You know, we're big babies, so I was out here. But it was ably filled in by Aaron Coper, you know, Scott Pressler, and Mayor J.D. Longo. I think they did a great job. But hey, I'm back. You got to deal with me this week. But I'm telling you, we got a great show because in addition to being in the studio with me, John Schneider, our trusty executive director, and our producer, Dazzling Daryl Grandy, we have the candidate for Congress here in the 17th Congressional District, Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, and he's currently the state representative in the 28th Legislative District, Rob McCurry. Rob, welcome to the show.
Sam, it is so good to be with you today with 12 days to go as we're recording this until Election Day. And I was mentioning to you on the way in, longtime listener, third-time guest.
Well, Rob, thank you for joining us. And hey, folks, we're just going to jump right into it because here we are. You know, when this airs, we will be 10 days away, 10 days out from the most consequential election probably of our lifetimes. You know, and I can tell you that things seem to be trending, you know, our way. You have two of the major media polls that were just done, released on Wednesday of this week. The Wall Street Journal and the Harris poll both showed President Trump up nationwide. Wall Street Journal had him up nationwide, nationally, by 3 points. The Harris had him up by 2 points. And if he's up this much on a national perspective, he's up in the swing states. And, you know, polling was off in 2016 and 2020. So things are looking good. But, folks, all this is right now is just a mirage. It looks good. The signs are there. But unless we go and vote, unless we show up at the polls and make our selection and make our voices heard, this thing could disappear as fast as it looks like it's good for us is appearing right now. And Rob, you are in a tight race, you know, with an incumbent. It's always a tough battle to defeat an incumbent, but this guy absolutely needs to go. You know, your opponent, Chris DeLuzio, is a whip in the Progressive Caucus. He doesn't represent the district. You know, he's arrogant. I don't believe he represents his constituents well. We are looking forward to having you represent us. What do we have to do to elect you on November 5th?
Yeah, well, Sam, you said it. I mean, we got to make this happen. Each of us within the sound of our voice today and those in your circle, so each of you who are voting with us and for us, we got to tell friends, neighbors, family members to turn those ballots in and to go to the polls on November 5th. And Sam, you know this, there's 5 satellite locations in Allegheny County. And that means this weekend, you can also vote Saturday and Sunday. In our district in PA 17, if you're an Allegheny County resident, you can go to the North Park skating rink between the hours of 9 and 5. Everybody knows North Park. It's easy to find. And we were there last weekend, and the turnout was phenomenal. Over 2,000 votes cast. You can turn in your mail-in ballot there so that you know that it goes right in to be stored before it's counted on Election Day. And you can actually physically vote. You can request a ballot and vote right there. So it's much more secure that way, and people are comfortable with it. So we're encouraging everybody who can get out to North Park Skating Rink and cast that vote. And again, bring your friends, bring your family, bring your neighbors. That is the margin of victory this election. You said it, Sam. We're up against a progressive opponent, a far-left liberal, Chris DeLuzio. Many people don't even know that he's representing Beaver County and the suburbs of Allegheny County, but he's doing it in a way that's kind of duck and cover. He's ducking the debate that was offered by WTAE. He's ducking a radio debate that was offered by Marty Griffin on KDK Radio. Mm-hmm. And there's only one reason you do that. He must think that going on the air and defending the Biden-Harris administration, which he is in lockstep with, and defending his record as a progressive legislator is not something that will garner him support. And so he's running away from his record by dodging the debate. And frankly, the votes that he's taken in the U.S. House of Representatives during his short 2 years should be a record that wakes us up. If there's anybody out there who's thinking about voting for DeLuzio, He voted against securing our border. So he wants the chaos at the border. He wants folks to come in who are illegal and, you know, benefit from taxpayer money.
And by doing so, by de facto, he wants amnesty.
He must,
because
want
that's the reason they're letting these people in here.
And to change the electorate over time.
Yes.
You know, to flip Texas and Arizona, these kinds of strategies, which is just unsettling. You know, he also voted against our own energy interests in Western PA. Mm-hmm. So he voted to keep a liquefied natural gas ban on new permits that President Biden put in place. He voted against lifting that ban. So he wants shackles on the clean natural gas industry, which, you know, devastates potential jobs and industry for our region. You know, the only reason that he is doing that is he is for more government control. He's for, you know, this Green New Deal that he supports that President Biden passed, which has caused rampant inflation in our economy. And he supports that, which is making life harder for everyday Americans. So as we're out hitting the trail and knocking doors, we're hearing one message continuously from these voters. It's that life is harder now after 4 years of the Biden-Harris administration, and they are very nervous and scared that they will have to endure another similar 4 years, and one that's supported by a Democratic Congress. They're very worried about that. So we have to make sure that doesn't happen. We have to give Speaker Mike Johnson an expanded majority in the 119th Congress. And he's come out to support us a couple times. And we just had Chairman Jim Jordan with us on a town hall yesterday. And so we're getting a lot of national support. Folks are coming around us knowing that this is a majority-making seat. And so, again, we just need to get out and vote and flip this seat.
Well, that sounds great, Robin. You know, you brought up a great point for the folks. I had a Board of Elections meeting earlier this week on Tuesday, and we had the statistics from last weekend, okay? And North Park, by far, you know, got more ballots collected than any of the other offices. North Park had 2,219 ballots that were collected. South Park was 1,871. CCAC in Homewood was 757. And folks, I can tell you that they had set up a satellite voting office out at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall and Museum for 3 days, which is basically on the University of Pittsburgh campus. You know, and I was afraid, because really what they are taxpayer-funded Democrat get-out-the-vote operations. But over that 3 days, in those 3 days, they only collected 1,916 ballots. So it is far less than what I thought. I believe Democrat enthusiasm is down, Republican enthusiasm is up, and you're right, because how many people, Rob, can ask themselves the question, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago?
Yep.
And be able to say yes.
Yeah, that's the essential question. And I think let's focus on the policies that are supported, you know, by the presidential candidates and by those running for Congress. And again, when you run away from your record, like my opponent, Chris DeLuzio, is doing, you know that something there is not right. You know, in addition to the down economy and the open border, I think that, you know, voters are really resonating with our positive message of hope and, you know, unity, saying that, which we've said from the beginning, on every issue, even our most contentious, there is common ground on both sides of the aisle. So we need to stop the partisan bickering on both sides. We need to work with the big 80% in the middle and find common ground and legislate on that common ground. That's how you fix the border crisis and get good legislation passed. And that's how you fix some of our biggest budgetary and national security problems. And there's no doubt that in this moment, Sam, we have incredible challenges in front of us. We've got $35 trillion of national debt that is piling up, that is over $100,000 for every man, woman, and child in the United States of America. This is unsustainable. Mm-hmm. This can't continue. But we have to hold our leaders accountable for developing a real solution to this problem, or it will continue to just grow. Every budget year that we don't address it, we dig that hole deeper and deeper and deeper. How do we get out of this hole? First, we got to stop digging, and then let's start climbing out. And we can do it without pulling the rug out from under seniors and you know, we'll always honor our commitments. This is one of the fallacies that the Democrats love to perpetrate, is the Republicans want to cut Social Security and Medicare. You know, these are my parents and grandparents too, and I want those entitlements to be there for them, but I also want those entitlements to be there for my kids,
right,
and for our generation. So we've got to secure that, and we've got to be in better footing than we are right now.
Well, what we're seeing right now is that, you know, there's no disputing it, that we pay more on an annual basis on interest on the national debt than we pay on national defense.
Think about that.
Okay. You know, and part of the reason why is because of the high interest rates that we have in place right now, because of the reckless spending of the Biden-Harris administration. And Chris DeLuzio was on board with all of that.
That's right.
From day one. So every family out there in the 17th Congressional District who is hurting, you know, when they go to the grocery store, when you go to the gas pump, you know, if you're a renter and you're trying to renew your lease or find some place to live, if you're looking to buy a new home and you're seeing mortgage rates that are 2.5 times what they were under President Trump, you know, Chris DeLuzio shares in the blame for delivering that to you. And again, it's not like, hey, if your house is on fire, you know, you're not going to ask the person that lit it on fire to be the one to put it out, okay? And essentially, that's what's happening. These Democrats are arsonists. They're the ones that lit the fire of inflation. They're the ones that have made it hard for families to make ends meet. And now they're raising their hands and telling you that they're the ones that they should send back to Harrisburg or Washington to be able to fix the problem. No, it's time for them to go.
You know, Sam, in 2015 and 2016, Bernie Sanders, senator from Vermont, declared openly and brazenly that he wanted a revolution. And he said it at their convention. He said, I want a political, social, and economic revolution in this country. And frankly, under the Biden-Harris administration, and with my opponent, who declared that he was a Bernie bro,
oh yeah,
publicly before running for election, they got their Bernie Sanders revolution, and we're living in it now with the consequences. And the Green New Deal that was passed, they called it the Inflation Reduction Act, which is a terrible name for it. They passed the Green New Deal that was the Bernie Sanders economic package, giveaway for climate extremism, giveaway to, you know, underserved communities, as they call it. But the solutions are all government-centric. That's the Bernie revolution. They wanted more and more aggregated government control. But what happens is you don't have any real growth to support it. And so you end up with Cuba's economic policies, and Cuba can't keep the lights on.
Right.
Right. And
well, neither can Venezuela. Right.
And they can't employ their folks. It's a shrinking economic pie, and they're dividing it and dividing the spoils out to all their interest groups. So we're living through that. We need a change. And I think folks are ready to vote for change.
Look, I think this is going to be a change election. I just saw something the other day. 80% of the American public believes that we're on the wrong track. You know, they are looking for change. And change is not sending the same people back to Washington that have been running the show these last 4 years. That's why I believe that, you know, in addition to yourself, I believe Dave McCormick is going to defeat Bob Casey.
Great candidate.
You know, I believe that President Trump is going to win re-election. You know, I believe that our row office candidates are going to do as well. I believe that our state Senate and state House candidates here in Allegheny County are going to do well as well. You know, and that's because I think folks recognize, you know, who's to blame, who's at fault here. And, you know, the Democrats have certainly, you know, dropped the ball, and they're not doing anything to take and propose something that would provide relief other than, hey, just send me back, because I want to keep my job.
You know, we're living with the real consequences right here in Allegheny County too, Sam, with Sarah Innamorato as the chief executive. You know, the first leadership executive role of any type that she ever held up until that time. You know, she was a state legislator. She was an activist and a coffee barista.
And she worked as a greeter in an Apple store.
There you go.
Nothing wrong against those professions.
Correct.
You know, my grandmother always said, as long as you're making an honest living, it's something to be proud of.
That's right.
But it doesn't necessarily qualify you to lead a county or a country, a county, commonwealth, or country. And that's what they're trying to do. And you're right. And your opponent, your opponent has come out and actually endorsed many of these people, okay? Mm-hmm. Your opponent endorsed Sarah Innamorato, you know, just a year ago, and here she is wanting to raise your property taxes by 46.5%. 46.5%, ladies and gentlemen, okay? Your opponent, you know, endorsed the George Soros-funded candidate for district attorney.
That's right.
I mean, I'm in the news this week because I'm calling for the immediate resignation or removal of District Judge Xander Orenstein for not holding or not holding for bail or bond. You know, someone who just was a suspect who is accused of killing a Pennsylvania State Patrol liquor enforcement officer on the Montour Trail. A guy just out for a run. So I have a constituent that's dead. I have a woman who's missing her husband. I have two young girls that are missing their father because this activist judge chose not to do what he was supposed to do. And your opponent has supported these type of people, you know, all along. He needs to go.
This is life under the progressive rule. Mm-hmm. And they've got unified control in Allegheny County. They've got the county executive. They've got the mayor of the city of Pittsburgh. And they've got both houses, both seats of Congress, Summer Lee and Chris DeLuzio. And they're all in the same far-left faction of their party. You know, there's a lot of, you know, working class Democrats, legacy Democrats in Beaver County and in Allegheny County that are voting for Republicans and have for quite some time because they've seen their party embrace this far left Bernie Sanders socialism that is anathema to the hard work and union way of life that they really support. And so you've seen this dynamic happen. And I think that this is going to be decisive for us in this election year. I think those good working class Democrats who honor hard work and family and American principles are going to vote Republican again this cycle. And many of them have been sending me their ballots to show it as proof that they're with us. So we're encouraged by that. And, you know, so many others. The reality is, Sam, we're living under this progressive control right now. But the only reason that we are doing so is because in the last cycles, we have not turned out. Our side has not turned out. 17% turnout in last cycle's countywide election. This cycle is going to be much different. We're hearing from everybody. Big turnout is happening. Republicans are requesting and completing their mail-in ballots at a better ratio than ever before, which we're very enthusiastic about. And so, you know, this last 10 days, as your listeners are listening here, we need to continue to keep our pedal to the metal so that we get every single Republican voter out to make sure that we win this.
I couldn't agree more. And folks, I want to give you some numbers here that we have as of Thursday, October 24th in Allegheny County. Folks have applied for 235,504 mail-in or absentee ballots. Of those 235,504, 157,035 were applied for by Democrats, 51,702 by Republicans, 598, you know, by others, okay? So we've had, the others were 26,767. I was reading Armstrong County's line right below it. So you had 157,035 for Democrats, 51,702 for Republicans, and 26,767 for others. Now, the ballots that have been returned as of 8 a.m. on 10/24/2024, there have been 150,076 have been returned. 105,957 Democrats, 30,706 Republicans, 13,413 others. Now, you know, Democrats, because they have almost a 2-to-1 registration advantage here in Allegheny County, and they've embraced mail-in voting since 2020, their numbers are going to be higher. But the number here, I'm heartened by the number of Republicans that have requested and are returning their ballots. Yeah. It's higher than any time, you know, since 2020. And, you know, here you're basically looking at, you know, they're 3-to-1, where in past elections, it's been as much as 5-to-1. Democrat to Republican. So we are doing well. I think we're doing a better job in getting out our low propensity, Republican voters as well. But folks, we can't stop. You know, you need to take and make sure that you get your ballot in. And if you go to the Allegheny County website AlleghenyCountyOneWord.us. Then just click on elections. And if you go down, you'll see a link to click on satellite voting offices and mail-in or ballot return sites. You go to those, it'll show you the locations, it'll give you the hours that are available, and we got to get these in. I mean, every single one counts. I would rather you got your mail-in ballot in early instead of holding on to it and trying to go to the polls with it on election day, because if that happens, if for some reason you don't have the whole package, if some reason you forget something, they will not allow you to vote. You'll have to cast a provisional ballot. We don't want to have that happen. Let's get those ballots in. Let's make sure that every Republican that's requested a ballot gets their ballot and returns it. And for the folks who are having problems, if you've requested a ballot and you haven't received it yet, you can reach out to me at my county email address, samuel@alleghenycounty.us. Send me an email. Give me your name, your address, your birth date. Please leave your phone number. And where that ballot was supposed to go, send it to me, and I will give it directly to the Director of Elections and get them on it post-haste. Okay? So that's a way, if you're having problems, that you can reach out to get these in. But we are dedicated, and we will leave no stone unturned in making sure that your ballot gets in and that your vote counts. You have any other questions? You're welcome to call our office at 412-458-0068, where you can get that additional information or any other thing that you required. But folks, again, as I said at the top of the show, this is the most important and most consequential election of our lifetimes. You know, it is important that we send these good folks like Rob McCurie to Washington, and let's make it happen.
Well, Sam, let me just take a minute and thank you, too, for your leadership in this county, leading our committee. And your leadership cascades down to the local levels. And we've seen so much good leadership in the townships and boroughs led by folks who care deeply about the township or borough that they live in and have lived in for so long. And you know, it's a privilege to run for office and to hold office, as I do in the state legislature. But it's all of our American privilege to be involved in the democratic process. We've got a great system. We've got a system that that works and is the envy of the world. We can't forget that.
Right.
You know, Sam, you're a Marine. I was in the U.S. Army. When I was deployed, looking back at the United States, deployed to a third world country, Iraq, during the war, you realize this is a special place. You grow up here and you maybe take it for granted. But when you leave and look back at what we have, I couldn't wait to get back inside the United States of America. I couldn't wait to, you know, grow my family and have access to, you know, the great public schools that we've got in Western PA. I couldn't wait to, you know, stand up and run for office in 2020 for the first time. So everybody needs to find that spot where they can give a little bit of time, an hour a week, you know, 2 hours a week, 10 hours a week if you can. Make phone calls, work the polls, sign up for a candidate that you care about. That's how real change happens. And I think we're at this point where it's clear to everybody, you know, this country really is at stake. The future of this country is on the ballot in 2024.
And Rob, I couldn't have said it better. I mean, the choice could not be clearer, folks. You have a candidate, President Trump, who, whether you like the man or not, delivered from a policy perspective. You know, we saw him in 4 years in office. The Democrats are going absolutely bonkers right now, trying to claim that he's a fascist, all these different things. And in these last 10 days, who knows what else you're going to hear. But understand this. President Trump has been out here involved in politics for the last 10 years. This is the third time he's run for office. He was impeached twice. They've all these different court cases. They tried to indict him to disqualify him. Any of this last-minute information, if any of this was true, you would have heard about it long before now. The Democrats are in the throes of desperation here, having pulled a coup, you know, and forced Joe Biden out of the race so that they could take and install Kamala Harris. And now they're stuck with one of the worst presidential candidates of all time, someone who's empty, vapid, and I'm sorry, just seems outright stupid, and who's unable to articulate any type of positive message or vision on where she would like to take the country. That's not a winning message. to just go out and complain about former President Trump over and over and say he's bad, orange man bad, can't elect him this or can't elect him that. We've seen what he's delivered. He delivered prosperity. He delivered rising wages. He delivered low gas prices. He delivered low grocery prices. He delivered low mortgage rates, you know, lower credit card rates. I mean, all these different things. We lived under him for 4 years. So these stories, these threats, they're not going to work. But I need you to go to the polls on Election Day and pull that lever. And we'll talk more about that. We're going to hear a lot more from Rob right after the break. This is Sam DeMarco, the host of The Elephant in the Room on WJS, 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. We'll be right back. Folks, welcome back to The Elephant in the Room here on WJAS 1320 AM, 99.1 FM Talk. Before the break, we were here in studio by a candidate for the 17th Congressional District in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and current state representative, Rob McCurry. And Rob, you know, I was just railing right before the break, talking about how I believe that current presidential candidate, Kamala Harris, on the Democrat side is doing a terrible job. You know, has no answers, you know, for what this country needs. And I mean, I think similarly, you know, your opponent, you know, in your race is in the same boat. You know, he's running around. I mean, he's talking about things that have no bearing on the actual problems that your constituents are facing. I mean, what's his answer to lower grocery prices?
He doesn't have an answer. You know, the economics of inflation are pure and simple. We need to get back to real growth. And the way to do that is by supporting our small businesses, lowering taxes, letting families see the connection between their hard work and what they can bring home and provide for their families. You know, that is the American dream. And that's what our country has stood for so many generations, is that, you know, you have the personal responsibility and the personal freedom to an opportunity, equal opportunity, to go get and bring home the bacon and what you can. You don't have your hand out to the government for what they can give you. Remember during COVID, there was that COVID hangover where a lot of people still wanted to hang on to those government benefits. Mm-hmm. But the problem is that if too many of us are reliant on a centralized government for our goods and services and for our paychecks, we don't have enough earners to continue to contribute. And so that results in either massive inflation or rising taxes. You can't have more government handouts and more government giveaways without either drastically high inflation or increased government taxes. And so, you know, taxes haven't gone up, but the inflation really is a nefarious tax, if you think about it.
It absolutely is. It makes the value of the savings that you hold today worth less.
This is the economic plan of Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Chris DeLuzio. This is what they want. If you ask these guys what their plans are, it's give away more, pay for everybody's college, you know, and they want to tax, importantly, your unearned, unrealized gains. About that. So if you own stock or if you own a house, you probably have some equity, right? Some unearned, unrealized gains. And that is part of Kamala Harris's economic plan. She wants to provide a tax to take a bite out of your unrealized gains, which nobody knows how that mechanism would even work. How do you, you know, value it? How do you collect on something that you haven't even earned yet? But it's their way of, one, not understanding, you know, what those unrealized gains represent, but also trying to take another bite out of hardworking people's savings and their earnings. That's the only way that they can figure out how to pay for these expensive programs. And that will continue unless we put a stop to it and get back to the American principle of free markets and personal responsibility, hard work, and earning and keeping more of what you make and save. I just came, Sam, from my business roundtable in my district office, and we had about 30 small business owners in our office around the table talking about what's going on in each of their businesses, restaurant owners, you know, trucking executives, manufacturers, accountants, you name it. And every single one of them has contributed directly through their hard work to where they are at now, But what they're seeing is the next generation of young people that expect something more from the government instead of going to get it on their own. And so I think we need a return in our policy, but we also need to encourage a cultural shift for our young people back to, you know, this country offers you unlimited opportunity, but each of us does have to work for it and go get it. And that's really exciting. I think the Republican principles of personal responsibility, economic freedom, that's been the driver of what's made America so great for so long.
Well, and you bring up a great point there, but I wanted to clarify something too, because your opponent's running around talking about taxes and he's repeating the same tired lie that the Biden-Harris administration repeated, that the Trump Tax Cuts and Jobs Act from 2017 were tax cuts for billionaires. And folks, the fact is, and this is according to IRS statistics, 80% of all taxpayers, that's 80%, received a tax cut, with the average taxpayer receiving a $1,500 reduction in taxes. According to the IRS statistics, the largest share of the tax cut went to the bottom 75% of earners, who saw their taxes drop by 9.3%, while the top 1% of earners saw a cut of only 0.04%. Now, most of that tax cut expires at the end of 2025, and if the Harris administration fails to reauthorize it, taxes are expected to rise by $400 billion a year. And so, folks, if you want your current taxes to not only get cut, but to at least stay where they are, you need to send Rob McCurry and President Trump and Dave McCormick to Washington, because that's the only way to make sure that they take and renew those tax cuts. They're not allowed to expire, so that DeLuzio and Harris and that crew can take and raise your taxes and spend your money, because, folks, that's what's on. That's what's on the agenda. But I wanted to clarify that. The truth, facts, 80% of all taxpayers received a tax cut, the average taxpayer receiving a $1,500 reduction in taxes.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Sam. We'll get that done as one of our first pieces of business in the 119th Congress, is to renew the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act and get back to real growth in the United States of America. You know, the other thing that I think President Trump has laid out clearly, which even now Bob Casey supports, Chris DeLuzio hasn't gotten on board yet, but he's behind. But Bob Casey even is now running ads that he supports the Trump tariff plan to push back against China and other countries who are flooding our markets and taking advantage of our economic interests. And really, for the last couple decades, globalism and its effects have devastated a lot of middle America and the Rust Belt. And we've lost a lot of manufacturing capabilities right here at home in Pittsburgh. We need to go on offense. We need to double down on energy policy that will create good-paying, family-sustaining jobs and grow our energy independence so that we can have more energy jobs and become an exporter. We also need to have tariff policies that protect our industries from foreign dumping, and that includes the automobile industry, that includes the steel industry, and so many others. When we do that, and this is where there is some misreporting and misinformation on this issue too, that it doesn't come through as a tax on goods. Mm-hmm. It doesn't, unless, which they won't, manufacturers simply continue to import from overseas. What those manufacturers will do is they'll plant new facilities in the United States and have a tariff-free environment where they can employ United States citizens and create those same goods and deliver those goods at a low cost to the American customer. So, you know, that's kind of the vision I think that somebody who understands economics can do, but I certainly don't think that Kamala Harris has that understanding. And we've seen that in the disastrous policies these last 4 years.
Well, it's important that you bring that up, Rob, because folks, they certainly don't understand it. And they're lying. They're lying to the American people in these ads. They keep saying that President Trump is going to levy a national sales tax. Okay? There is no such thing. What they're trying to do is they're trying to refer to his threat to these other countries who are taking advantage of the United States and not allowing free trade. Him saying that he'll put a tariff on their products. You know what a tariff on the product does? The tariff on their product makes their product more expensive. Yes. But that's designed to protect the jobs of Americans who work here, who have to try to compete with folks that are paying slave labor wages in sweatshops, you know, in third world countries, okay? And President Trump is committed to growing jobs here in the United States of America. He wants manufacturers to bring those jobs back. That's also part of his energy plan. Manufacturing is a very energy-intensive process. And by lowering the cost of energy, you can lower the cost of manufacturing. But in order to make this happen, you need folks who understand it, like Rob McCurry and Dave McCormick in Washington, along with President Trump. But the Democrats are lying to you. They're trying to scare you. They're claiming that Trump's going to put some sort of national sales tax in place. Heck, this is the guy that said he wants to implement no tax on tips. He wants to implement no tax on Social Security. You know, if I could just speak through this microphone to the seniors that are listening, you know, you have the county executive here wanting to raise your real estate taxes by 46.5%. And you got to be asking yourself, am I going to have to leave my home? Where's the money going to come from to pay these taxes? Well, I can tell you, you know, that it would be very helpful if you didn't have to pay taxes on your Social Security earnings. You know, that would help go a long way to addressing some of these other concerns that you have, right? But you only get that by electing President Trump, by electing Dave McCormick, by electing Rob McCurry here in the 17th Congressional District, James Hayes in the 12th, but by sending Republicans to Washington that will work with President Trump to implement these policies.
That's right. The exciting thing is, Sam, once we win across the board and have a mandate for change, which we've talked about, you know, these policies of the left, the far left for our region, which are really a mismatch to the good people of Western PA. You know, I've described myself as a Pittsburgh Republican. I want the Steelers to win. I want America to win. You know, the people of this region do not share the values of the far left. They don't. The people of this region for far too long have undervoted. This election, we're going to turn out and we're going to flip these seats. And the exciting thing is that then we have a mandate where we can govern. And the policies that we've been talking about on my campaign now for a year and a half, which are resonating with people all over the region, we get to effectuate this change. And we get to change the dynamic of a lower trajectory, which we're on right now, where we are sliding further and further behind and further into debt. There's chaos overseas, by the way, because people like Putin and those in China are sensing the weakness. Hamas is taking advantage of it as well. But we get to pursue a policy of economic growth, energy independence, and peace through strength. And that's exciting to me. That's worth running for office. That's worth the sacrifice that it takes to regain this ground that we've lost and really change the dynamic of a generation. Until Reagan came along with Morning in America and the agenda that he pursued during his prosperous 8 years, where, you know, the Berlin Wall fell and there was peace and prosperity across the world and in our country, people were really down. You know, they had come through a very difficult time in the late 60s and into the 70s with, you know, the Nixon scandals and the failed Carter years, right? And that's the moment in history that we are in. We're in a failed administration where there's stagflation, there's lower opportunities in America. We need that Morning in America again, and it starts with leadership. And then once we win this election, we've got a great opportunity over the next decade and beyond to rebuild, get ourselves back on track with fiscal sanity, with strong defense, and then we can have our kids and grandkids who are in this region find that job, work here, stay here, and grow this country.
Well, Rob, you certainly understand this, okay? And not just the whole tariff aspect of this, but you also, your background is in finance. I mean, you worked in New York, okay? You worked in finance. You worked here for PNC, right? And you get it. You said here on the show that the only way we're going to get or dig ourselves out of the debt we're in, the 35-plus trillion, is through growth. You know, and under President Trump, again, we were growing at a rate of 3% from a GDP perspective, and we had inflation of less than 2%.
Mm-hmm.
right? Here, under the Biden-Harris administration, inflation was over 9%. You know, and GDP is less. So we got a lot of work to do, but you got to put the right people in place. And, you know, I was telling some folks here, I was giving a speech to, a talk, to a veterans cohort here back in July. And I told them if I were walking on the beach and stumbled across a magic lamp and out popped a genie that promised me one of three wishes, okay, but I could only get one. And the choices were world peace, end world hunger, or truth in political ads. I told them I would have to go with the latter, right?
Yeah.
Because I folks like you and I, right, we're in this. We do our own research. So we understand what the truth is. We see through the false ads. But I worry about the American people, the people who are too busy. I mean, they're just raising their family, trying to raise their kids. They're tied up in their kids' athletics. They're involved at work.
That's right.
Or church or whatever. And they don't have the access or the insight that we do. And they just watch these commercials. And I just fear, how many people are going to believe this garbage or trash? And look, you know, there's no doubt. We can say whatever we want, but there's no doubt negative ads work. Otherwise, they wouldn't run them, okay? So that's the challenge. How do we help folks see through the BS, you know, in the smokescreen here to see the truth?
Yeah, I got that question on a town hall last night as well. We had 3,600 people on a town hall. It was great. A lot of engaged people right now, Sam, and they're all asking this question. And, you know, if the genie were there, I might have gone with world peace or ending food hunger, but you have yours. I understand. The question of how do we believe what's going on in the world and where do we get verified and verifiable information is a great question. Mm-hmm. You know, part of it for me is, and I think one, we do need to trust and verify. We need to listen to what you're hearing and then go to the source and understand who's giving you that information. Do they have an agenda behind it, right? Candidates who want to win elections, like you said, Sam, sometimes they say whatever they need to do to win, right? So we need to really understand who's this information coming from. And then I use an example during COVID. You know, we were being bombarded with all this scary information on TV and through the internet and on social media. And then I would go take a walk outside, see neighbors. And they seemed fine, and they were calm, and they were encouraging, right? We did what we had to do to get through that. Mm-hmm. Part of it is I think we need to re-engage locally, and we need to talk in common sense terms to family and friends about what they're going through and what are the best ways to do it. You know, social media has its strengths, right? You can communicate with friends from long ago, but it's got a lot of weaknesses too, and the misinformation is a big part of that. I think that a lot of the solution to what ails our great country right now, culturally, comes from a return to community, strong communities, and being a good friend and good neighbor first and foremost. And I think that it may not be as glamorous as, you know, developing a one-size-fits-all policy solution or something that can come from top down. But honestly, that's what built this country into what it is today. And I think we need a return to that in order for us to really get through the challenges that may lay ahead. So, you know, as we're thinking about, you know, the next years ahead, you know, we're running hard to win this election. We're staying engaged and invested right where we're at in our community, for our kids, for our grandkids, for the betterment of our neighborhood and our community. And I think if everybody does that, that's how you build a more cohesive, better community, neighborhood, city, country, moving forward. And that's why our Republican conservative vision will outlast and outlive and outperform the centralized control and government first vision of the left every time.
Now that's a vision I can get behind, Rob. Okay. And you know, something else I wanted to bring up and why I'm looking forward to you being going to Washington, you know, and helping the Trump administration implement some of these new policies is, you know, I get angry when I watch the television and I listen to these Democrats talk about President Trump and being an authoritarian and a fascist. I will tell you firsthand, when he was in office, he, through the Intergovernmental Affairs Division of the White House, instituted something that they hadn't done in years. He brought in, I was part of a Keystone State County Commissioners Conference. We went to Washington, went to the White House, and they brought in a contact from every department in the federal government, with the exception of the Department of Defense. I mean, we got briefing by NASA, agriculture, everybody. But the intent of this was this. He wanted to push decision-making back to the local county commissioners and away from the federal government, because he said that we know our constituents better than anybody else, putting us in the best position to serve them, you know? So he wanted us to meet and make these contacts with the federal government so that we could call them directly if we had problems, so that we could help our constituents get the help they needed, you know, from the federal government. That doesn't sound like a fascist or a dictator or an authoritarian to me.
No, it does not.
And many folks don't. They don't even know about this stuff. And it was bipartisan. This wasn't just, hey, Republicans.
Yeah.
I was there with, you know, Commissioner Gina Cirilli from Westmoreland County, Commissioner Val Arcus, who I believe is, she was Montgomery County then, but now she's in the Shapiro administration in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Right. But she was there as a county commissioner. I mean, this was, you know, this was everybody they were trying to help. And really, I mean, you know, he gets it. It wasn't partisan. And again, it was about, you know, states' rights and even pushing it beyond that. Again, empowering the people at the local level to make as many of the decisions as we could so that it didn't have to go to the federal government.
And Sam, I love hearing that. And that is a Republican vision, isn't it? It's truly conservative when you think about it, because it means that it starts locally. And that is, you know, very encouraging to hear that kind of outreach was happening and could happen again. And I think that if you think about, you know, the ideals of the Democratic Party right now, where, you know, the far left wants this centralized control, it's the opposite of that.
Yes.
It's the opposite of bringing in the local aspects. You know, they want, this is an active proposal, you know, they not only want to pack the Supreme Court by adding justices aligned to their persuasion, which is a radical proposal and a controlling proposal. They also want to add statehood status for D.C. and I think Puerto Rico,
yep.
Right? So that they can, which are very blue and probably will be for a while. Yep. And so they want to add to
four new senators, all Democrat senators, to enshrine a permanent majority there.
This is extreme stuff, right?
They want to take and censor our speech and take away our right to free speech. I mean, it just, you know, again, the thing I've learned about Democrats from the very beginning is that whatever they accuse you of doing is actually what they're doing themselves. I mean, it's all projection.
These are very far left views. And I think the local vision that you just talked about, that you were a part of and that you live every day as a county councilman and as a county party chair, is the key to engaging more people in this country and having a more democratic and better result. That's the real vision of this country.
Now, Rob, I don't know how I let us get this far into the show without asking you, but please tell our listeners, if they want to help you, how can they go about helping you? How can they go about volunteering? Tell them how they can go about donating money. Please.
Yes. And first, don't think it's too late. The last 10 days of the election, these are going to be the critical days of the election. And every day matters. Every volunteer matters. Every phone call, every ballot that you can collect and encourage from your family members to get out to the polls and cast their vote. Those are the first things that I think I want you to hear and to do. Sure, we need resources. We need donations. You can go to robmercury.com and donate right there. And every dollar that you donate will go directly to voter contact during the last phase of the election. And so there's something for everybody. We appreciate everybody's involvement and so appreciate, you know, the time here today, Sam. We're running to win. We're running for our city and our town. And we look forward to serving in Congress here in a few short months.
Well, we look forward to having you there. You
Thanks,
know?
Sam.
So, folks, you heard it here. That's how you can help Rob. John, as we get our volunteer requests that are coming in, these people that are saying they're looking to volunteer, please get them to Rob's campaign manager, Michael, here, and let's do what we can, you know, to make a difference. Folks, it all comes down to you now. It comes down to you getting to the polls, but not just you, but getting five of your friends, five people that think like you do, to go and vote as well. We can't leave any stone unturned. We don't want to wake up on November 6th, you know, and wonder what more we could have done if the results aren't what we hope for. The polls are looking good. It seems like the wind's at our back. But folks, a lot of things can happen, you know, in these next 10 days. So I urge you, please leave no stone unturned. You know, go and vote early. You know, it's almost too late to request a mail-in ballot. But if you can this weekend, go to one of the satellite voting centers, you know, request and vote over the counter there. You know, if not, make plans to go on election day. I can tell you, I believe lines will be long, right? So try to avoid it and do what we can. But again, folks, we have to do what we can. The country is at stake. We got to make it happen. And Rob, I got about 30 seconds. What's your closing message to our listeners?
Yeah, well, it's such an honor and a privilege, you know, as a West Point grad, Army veteran, business owner with my wife, Kelsey, and father of three kids, to be on the ballot this year for U.S. Congress. Sam, you said it well, get out and vote. We appreciate everybody, Democrat, Republican, and independent, who's pulling for us and voting for us. And our commitment is to serve every single day as a representative for every person, man, woman, and child in our district. And we know that we can do that if we work together. We know we can turn this country around.
Well, we appreciate your time. We appreciate you coming in and talking to our listeners. And folks, as always, when we get talking here, man, time seems to fly. Until next week, this is it from all of us here at the Elephant in the Room on WJAS 1320 AM and 99.1 FM Talk. Exciting times, folks. Talk to you next week. Take care. Have a great weekend.